to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and this is a very special episode. We are prepping for Wednesday's match against New Mexico United in the U.S. Open Cup. FC Dallas is coming off of a 4-0 dismantling of Oklahoma City Energy, and the New Mexico United is coming off of a win over MLS's own Colorado Rapids. So they're coming off of the high, and we reached out to the New Mexico Curse Cast hosts. It's David Carl and RJ Montagna, and lo and behold, David Carl got off of a bus from Las Vegas and joins us tonight. How's it going, David?
It was a plane from Vegas, thankfully. That would have been a long bus ride, but we've got a long bus ride coming up. We did the bus to Denver, the plane to Vegas, and then coming up soon, the bus to Dallas. But I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't have as much travel in me, so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, you're probably more rested than I am.
Yeah, but you know, I got three kids, so
maybe not.
I don't. Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about New Mexico United. So I want to kind of ask some questions to you about your team, so the FC Dallas fans can get acquainted ahead of the match, and then we can kind of talk a little bit about the reciprocal of FC Dallas's projected lineup and all that stuff on the flip side. So let's go and start with. Actually, you know, let's back it all the way up. Let's talk a little bit about New Mexico United as a club and its founding there in Albuquerque.
Yeah, so we've been around. We were announced a little over a year ago. So it's a year ago, I think two weeks. It's been a year and 2 weeks since we were announced as a club, as just USL New Mexico. We didn't have a name quite yet when we were first announced last year. When that happened, I was excited. I'm a lifelong soccer fan. Grew up watching Arsenal. It's a curse. And just kind of I was pumped when I heard we had a USL team coming. I watch a lot of the local soccer here. Big fan of the Albuquerque Soul, which is in USL League 2, formerly the PDL. Also support the Albuquerque FC here, which is the WPSL team. We have an indoor team, New Mexico Runners. So I'm a big fan of local soccer and soccer in general. And there was a small group of us who got together, six of us, who didn't know each other for the most part prior to this. But when we went to sign up for our season tickets in the early going, there was a small box on the form that you could check. And we all checked it, and it said, if you're interested in participating in a supporters group, check this box. So we all did. We checked the box. And then Lucas Cash, a member of the front office for the club, put us all in one email chain, said, hey, you guys all check the box. I'm leaving you alone. Do your thing. So that's what we did. We all six got together at a local brewery and decided we want to put together a supporters group. And the curse was born then and there. And it's been exciting. Now, as far as the club goes, man, it's been an exciting whirlwind. You know, we're obviously a brand new team. It's been a blast. And if you had told me that we'd be where we are right now just a year ago, I would have said you were crazy. But sign me up. It's been a lot of fun. And hoping that this fun ride continues.
For sure. So how has Albuquerque received the team? Has it been pretty good support there as a whole, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we are, when it comes to attendance, let's start with that. First in the USL, we're averaging about, I think, 12,800 per match. It's been received like, I don't even know if the club themselves expected this. I mean, we sell out every match. I, you know, again, as a soccer fan and as somebody who loves New Mexico, but is aware of how fickle the sports fan can be in New Mexico, was a little concerned about, you know, I thought people would show up because it was something new and something exciting, but I was a little worried that the attendance wouldn't stick around. We're about a third of the way through the season, and obviously there's a long way to go, but to be averaging 12,800 per match, and that's in a baseball stadium right now. We're in a baseball stadium in Albuquerque. People love it. People have fallen in love with the team. They've fallen in love with the unity. You know, United is not more than just a name, with the community that's been around it. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been received far better than I think anybody, including the club, expected.
That's cool. Yeah, the 12,800 is a – I mean, that's – I haven't looked at the attendance for FC Dallas recently, but that's up there, if not ahead of – slightly ahead of what we average – in our, I guess, announced attendance. So that's impressive.
And I think what's really, what's really important, I think, about it is that it's not just diehard soccer fans. You know, it's not the lifers. It's not the people who have been soccer fans their whole lives. It's people who have never been to a soccer match in their entire life a lot of the time, people who have either never been interested or never been introduced to soccer, and they're just supporting this because cool, this is New Mexico's team. We've never had anything like this. We've got the Isotopes AAA baseball, which is a lot of fun, but this is a different animal. And it's really cool to support something from your own hometown and your own state when, you know, we're a state that kind of gets talked down to a lot. We're a state that's overlooked. We've got a chip on our shoulder. So it's nice to have something that's so positive and so unifying around the state. And it's bringing together lifelong soccer fans and novices of the game alike. And it doesn't make a difference. Everybody's welcome. And it's a blast.
Yeah. I've started to kind of peek into worlds other than MLS. And you see that a lot in the kind of the, I guess, quote unquote, lower level, if you will, where sure. The cities will just, the people go to the games because they're just proud of their cities. They're proud of like the communities around there. And it's just something that I haven't seen necessarily with FC Dallas. Like Dallas hasn't glommed on to FC Dallas. We've got our awesome supporter groups, and most of it's I don't know. It's just a different world, and it's certainly fascinating to me watching from the outside. So,
Yeah, and I think part of that could be attributed to the fact that, I mean, Dallas is a huge metropolitan area. You have an MLB team. Well, not MLB. I'm sorry, an NBA team, an NHL team. You've got an MLB team in Arlington. You've got an NFL team. You know, we have, again, AAA baseball, the Isotopes, which we love. But this is the first really kind of quote unquote top level for us professional sports team that we've had. You know, we've had in the past, we had the Chili's and the Geckos. Those were some clubs in the past, but they never rose to this level of professionalism. And it's really cool to see this community, this not just the city of Albuquerque, but the entire state of New Mexico latch onto it.
For sure. How's the USL season going? I think you guys are tops in your division, right?
We were top in the conference until this past weekend.
Okay.
We've hit a little bit of a tougher run of form. You know, we came out like a house on fire, but we've hit a bit of a tougher run of form. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to schedule congestion with the US Open Cup. You know, this will be our fourth match in the US Open Cup. So that's four straight weeks of Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So that's tough. That's really tough. And three of those, all three of our US Open Cup matches thus far have gone 120 minutes. None of them have been in regulation. So add an extra match to that, it's an extra 90 minutes.
Wow.
So, you know, we were in first place for quite some time. And then within the league, we had a tough draw a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday game against Oklahoma City, who you guys beat 4-0. Mm-hmm. Then we had our first home loss of the season. We hadn't lost at home prior to the following Saturday. We lost 3-0 to Sacramento, which was no good. And then most recently, this past Saturday, was that day before yesterday, the time of this recording, we lost 5-1, in the league to Las Vegas Lights, who is 14th in the table prior to that. So I think it's fair to say that we're not in our best form right now. I do think schedule congestion plays a big part in that. You know, with the US Open Cup, one of the cool things about the Cup, I think a lot of people would agree, is obviously teams from different leagues playing one another, you know, the little guy having the chance to upset the big guy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We didn't play an amateur team in the first round like one would expect. We played one of the best teams in the U.S. In the USL in Phoenix Rising. They're the team that's in first place right now in the Western Conference. And we beat them, but again, it took penalties. Mm-hmm. Match after that, we got another USL team. We didn't get a little guy. We beat Colorado Springs in 120 minutes in extra time. And then after that, as you saw, we played Colorado Rapids at their place. All three of these matches have been on the road. We needed penalties to beat them. So I think it's perfectly reasonable and understandable for these guys to be tired. But they got to get up for this match in Dallas.
With that congestion, is New Mexico United prioritizing one competition over the other, or have you been able to tell at all?
I guess that depends on who you ask. If you ask me, I'd say yes. If you ask Coach Lassane, he'd say no.
Of course not.
You know, we prioritize the next match. That's the most important thing. Whatever the next match is, that's what we prioritize. But there's been some squad rotation, which is important when you have a lot of matches, regardless of what competition they're in, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't start a couple of our kind of key players in some of the more recent league matches, particularly in Las Vegas. On this past Saturday, you know, we didn't start Kevon Frater, who coming into the weekend was leading the USL in goals. We didn't start Chris Weehan, who is one of our main assist guys. So, you know, squad rotation is very important. And I think the Open Cup for a first year club is very exciting and a way to get people hooked and on board. So I can't blame Troy Lassane, Coach Lassane, for doing that whatsoever. But again, I think if you asked him, he'd deny it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Everything is about looking at the very next one. That's, I mean, we see that with our coach as well. I think it's part of the training manual for being a coach is that's the talking point, right?
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that Colorado upset. Walk us through that game. And I know you guys had a very large contingent there. Were there really more United fans than Rapids fans there? Or is that just something that's the, yes. Is that the narrative?
No, that actually happened. And so I did an interview with a local TV station the day before the trip. And they were talking about, you know, how exciting this is and you know what we can expect going into the match and all this kind of stuff. And I told them, I said, don't be surprised if we have more fans in their stadium than they do. And they kind of laughed at that. I said, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And we got there and we had, I would say probably 60-40 United to Rapids fans, which was so much fun. Now they shut down half the stadium. They blocked off half the stadium. Mm-hmm. So it was only half the stadium that was full, but again, more than half of them were our people. And, we were a hell of a lot louder than they were, which was a lot of fun. I'm sure you've been on some away trips in your life. And there's very little that's more exciting than winning in someone else's stadium. And you know, to go in there at a league higher than ours, obviously in the MLS, and to the way that we won that match is the most exciting match I've ever been to in my life. And I've been following soccer my entire life.
All the drama.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and for those listeners who maybe weren't familiar with how the match went, we scored in the third minute. Devin Sandoval scored in the third minute to give us a 1-0 lead. Rapid scored on either side of halftime to go up 2-1. And then in the 94th minute of a scheduled 95, Kevon Frater ties the match at 2-2. We play two overtime periods and 120 minutes total, and we're still even at 2. And we win the shootout 4-2. Cody Mizell makes one great save, and Colorado Rapids blast one over the bar, and we win 4-2. And again, to do that, not just in someone else's house, but to do that when you have more fans in their house and against a league higher than yours, that is a match and a moment I will never forget. And it made all the planning and the long drive and everything worth every second of it.
Yeah, that's got to be such a thrill. So you had a lot of fans there. Do you expect that many to travel to Dallas?
I would say probably not quite as many. When we went to Denver, we got a bus. We are getting a bus again for Dallas, and we expect to pack that. And Dustin, you and I were talking about before we came on air, or on mic rather. I had just hit save on the tickets open up the tickets for the bus. And let's see, I'm gonna look right now. 8, 9, 10. We're already. It's been 16 minutes and we are at 23 purchases so far. So I think we're going to sell that bus pretty quick, which is exciting. And then some people will make the drive or the flight themselves, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But it is a little bit tougher of a drive from Albuquerque to Dallas than it is from Albuquerque to Denver. It's about 7.5 to 8 maybe to Denver. It's going to be about 10 to 10.5 to Dallas for us on a bus. So that's not necessarily a bus for 10 and a half hours isn't appealing to everybody, understandably. But those away days are a blast. They're a lot of fun. You know, this is for me personally, this is my fifth away game so far this year.
Road Warrior.
Got a couple more planned. It's fun, man. You only get one first season, right?
It's true.
And they're playing well, which makes it even more fun. But again, I think we'll have a decent contingent. I don't think we'll have quite as many as we did in Denver, but I think you'll hear us. Fair to say.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot smaller venue than Colorado had. We've got some Gold Cup action.
It's at SMU, correct?
But it's at SMU because there's, I don't know, it depends on who you ask. If you ask the club, it's because I don't know, they've got one reason, and then like you ask people who talk to people and they say that the grass needs is because they just resodded our field and they wanted to give it extra growing
and aren't
time.
They have a Gold Cup,
right?
Match there,
so they
don't
wanted to let the grass can like get more healthy before, because apparently the Gold Cup teams have to, in this in their contract, that they get to practice on that stadium. So I don't know. It depends on who you ask, but that's why we're at SMU. It's a lot smaller of a venue than you would have seen at Colorado. And it's very possible that you could have more fans than us. If you're listening here in Dallas, please go to the match.
Yeah, come see us. We're loud and you know, a little bit obnoxious during the match, but we are a friendly group, and we love to meet, you know, fellow soccer fans wherever they may be. You know, we've had some great away times. You know, we went to Phoenix for our first ever away match and had a great time with the Red Fury out there, the supporters group. You know, we did the same thing in Colorado Springs and in Denver, and it's we have a good time, and usually we like to go out for beers after the match, win or lose. So we'd love to do that with you guys if you're all interested.
All right. So let's swing back and talk a little bit more about what we expect to see on the field. What kind of playing style should we expect from United?
From what I've reviewed of FC Dallas, something pretty similar to what you guys play, actually. We play a high aggressive press. We have kind of a four-headed monster at the top. We've got three main strikers. And obviously they don't all play at the same time. Usually, some of them can't. They don't always play as strikers. We'll put it that way. So coming into this past weekend, Kevon Frater, led the USL in goals, and Santi Moar was second in the USL in goals. Both of those are played for New Mexico United. Jerome Kiesvetter for El Paso has since passed them, but those two guys score a ton. Devin Sandoval, Albuquerque native, first player signed in the history of our club, also is a goal scorer, but they all have very different styles. So Kevon is speed, Santi is really great ball skill, and Devin is physicality. They all have different styles, and if they're all on, they are impossible to stop. Teams like to double down on Santi, and that leaves Kevon open. And if they double down on Kevon, it leaves Devin. And then assisting them all is Chris Weehan. He goes by Bees. He plays on the right side. He swings a ball in really, really well. He was the USL Rookie of the Year a few years ago. Obviously, his first year with us, it is our first year. But those four guys make things really hell up top. We have had trouble keeping the ball out of the net, as I'm sure you noticed when I was describing some of our recent scores. But I think it's not for lack of talent on the defensive side. It's just it's taken a little bit longer for that unit to gel, in my opinion. We're also at the moment missing our captain, Josh Suggs. He plays left back, and he bombs forward a ton. He contributes to the attack a ton, especially for a left back. He's out with knee issues. I don't expect he'll be back for this match. I would love to be wrong about that. He's been out for a few weeks, and I think that's also contributed to kind of the dip in form. But guys like Manny Padilla, he's one of our guys back there as well, and he's stepped up a lot in Josh's absence, and he swings in a really great ball as well. In case you haven't noticed, I'm talking a lot about the attack because that's what we hang our hat on. We want to outscore you. And like I said, from what I've seen from FC Dallas, that's kind of similar.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of trouble in the league, at least, actually scoring goals. Our defense has gelled pretty well and played pretty well as a unit. But yeah, the style you're describing actually does I guess match up pretty well. So I guess we'll swing and we'll talk a little bit about what we expect from FC Dallas tomorrow.
Wednesday. I'd love to hear about what we can expect. Do you think, I guess my first question to you on that would be, do you expect to have a team full of starters? Are we going to see 11 starters?
So it's weird this season because I guess we, you could say we have a first team, but we haven't seen them together a whole lot just because we've had players missing. We've had, I don't know, something like 9 players make their debuts this season. And, you know, we've got the whole quintessential player kids movement going on here. So we've got players coming mm-hmm. from the academy and making their debuts and constantly rotating in through the team. So, I mean, at any given moment, you know, who are our starters is a good question. There are a couple players that you'll always see. Like, our defense will pretty much mostly be intact, barring Reggie Cannon, who is off with the U.S. men's national team for the Gold Cup run. He just got called in because another player got injured. So I think it was Tyler Adams, actually. So he's gone, but we've been playing with Reto Ziegler, who's a veteran, played in Europe and all that. He's been playing center back, but he's moved over to the left back spot and allowed Ryan Hollingshead, who's kind of our Swiss Army knife, to move over to the right back and fill in for Reggie as he's been gone. So, like, that core of 4 guys there in the back you'll probably see them. When you move up, and then you start getting question marks because,
okay,
we've got Carlos Grezo, who's a bang on starter. We've got Brian Acosta, who's new this year, but has pretty much cemented his spot in the midfield, all gone for, the Gold Cup with their various teams. So what that means is in our midfield, we generally play like a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. So it kind of depends on whether or not we want to set up with those 2 defensive mids or not. But we have some players back, such as Paxton Pomykal, Edwin Cerillo, and Brandon Cervenia, who all can kind of slot in the midfield that we didn't have against Oklahoma City or even against San Jose. But we've got them back. So I expect to see Pomykal get a start. And come back in. I probably expect to see a player named Thomas Roberts, who's also a rookie this year, made his debut this season. So I expect some youth in the middle of the park for us. And then
youth, but not necessarily backups.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause both of those, or all of those guys have seen significant playing time this season. I mean, almost all of our team has seen minutes and not just trivial minutes this season.
I think we have a similar situation with what you mentioned there, with regard to kind of not necessarily having backups per se. You know, for example, again, up top, I mentioned Kevon Frater and Santi Moar start a lot up top. Devin Sandoval starts sometimes. Chris Weehan starts sometimes, but I would never call those guys backups. They get tons of minutes and tons of meaningful minutes, and they contribute to the match all the time. So if you're asking me for my starting 11, it's like my ideal starting 11. I don't think I have one for you, because those guys are also contributive. It would be impossible for me to rule a lot of these guys out.
For sure. I think one of the main talking points that you'll hear, is our number 9, I guess not number 9, but like our center forward that we started against Oklahoma City. His name is Ricardo Pepi, and he is like a 16-year-old who, up until we started our USL League One team, was in the academy. And now he's mm-hmm. one, if not the top scorer, I think he is the top scorer in USL League One. He's just tearing it up. He made his debut against Oklahoma City Energy on a short-term loan and got an assist to Mikey Barrios, who is that fast guy on the wing that you he's our version of that fast guy on the wing that you were talking about. I think that's kind of where most FC Dallas players are going to be watching. Is if Pepi starts, we're going to be watching him and seeing how he fits in with the first team, because he's, you know, our one for the future is what, you know, I guess they call him El Train because of the hype train around him.
Hey, play the kids, man. You get the opportunity. If you can play the kids and still win, that's ideal.
Yeah. We're seeing some pretty good success, with the kids. You can definitely tell that there's a lot of rough things to work out. And I'm not certain, because we also have our own fixture congestion coming up. We've got this match on Wednesday, and then we got a Saturday match, and then we got a Wednesday match, and then we got a Saturday match. So it'll be interesting to see how much playing time or how much rotation there is. I think with so many of our main, I guess, starters gone with the, or I guess our kids gone with the U20 World Cup, they're coming back. I expect to see them get kind of more reintegrated into the team going into those matches. So that's what I expect to see. I'm just a guy with a microphone.
So I guess a broader question based upon what we've just been talking about is, do you expect both the manager, the club, the players to treat this with the same import, I guess, that as a league match?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think that you'll see, you know, our entire first team go out there. But I think that as far as the club goes, it's just as important as the match on Sunday. It's Luchy Gonzalez's first U.S. Open Cup. He got his first win last week. He'll be hungry to get some sort of success this season. And especially with being your first season, you don't really want to bow out to a team that's supposed to be, you know, lower level than you, right? I definitely think that they'll be. I haven't actually been to training this week, and talked to them, but I definitely expect them to take it seriously and not look past it for sure.
I hadn't checked the table, but you guys are, was fourth or fifth in the Western Conference? Is that right?
More or less, yeah. I think we're fifth.
Okay. And have you guys, I mean, just with regard to that, I mean, you're in the playoff hunt, you're in the hunt for higher seeds, and there's a long way to go. Have you guys seen an uptick in interest, in attendance, in just kind of, I guess, the prominence of the club around the city? And again, it's very different Dallas than Albuquerque, but has it been kind of on people's minds and on their mouths?
You know, it kind of ebbs and flows. As the team's doing well and as the young players are doing well, you see more interest and more buzz around the team. As far as interest and getting fans into the stadium, it's been kind of rough for the team this year, to be honest. And I kind of feel bad for, you know, all the game day folks, because almost every Saturday game at home game has had a rain delay or has been foul weather. And we're not the fan base that's going to show up and sit out there in a storm and watch the game. It's sad. We're not that. We're not, you know, it's not the diehards. Most of the fans have kids that have to get to bed. And
well, it's funny you mentioned that. As you were saying that, I just pulled up the forecast for Wednesday and it's not looking great. No. you know, it looks like we may get a little bit of rain in Dallas, but you know what? We'll stay through it. We'll have fun.
Yeah. I think we've had two Sundays in a row with more than 70 mile an hour winds. So
wow. Yeah,
it's been a crazy weather year, and it seemed to always work out really poorly for FC Dallas. So I think I'm not trying to make excuses for the club, but as far as like fans in the stadium, I think that's played more of an effect than actually how the team plays on the field. Just judging off social media and everything, the buzz when the team's doing well and the youth players or the young players are doing well, you'll see a lot more interest for sure.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Let's say in a terrible situation, FC Dallas wins on Wednesday.
Terrible.
do you think at what point in the U.S. Open Cup does it start to become a big deal in Dallas? You got to get to like the semifinals. What does that look like?
So I wasn't around when they won the U.S. Open. I guess it was 2016. I wasn't a fan yet. My brother-in-law hadn't converted me. So I don't know what it was like. And the attendance was like at those. I think you'll start seeing an uptick in, hey, maybe this is the thing we could win this year. I think you'll start seeing that. I think you'll start seeing it. I don't think you'll see it in the quarters, but I think semis is where you'd start seeing that.
That makes sense. Well, hopefully, no offense, you don't get there. Oh, but with that in mind, let me ask you a question. Score prediction for Wednesday's match.
My score prediction is 3-1 FC Dallas.
Okay. I will say, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to go out. I'm going to even take that further. I'm going to say goals by Michael Barrios, Paxton Pomykal, and we'll give one to, we'll give another one to Reto Ziegler on a penalty kick.
Okay. I'm going to say 2-1 New Mexico.
Okay.
Because of course I am, with goals, from Kevon Frater and Chris Weehan. That's what I'm going.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we'll have to circle back on Twitter and see who wins this one.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward cool. to it.
All right, David, thank you so much for joining us. Are you going to be out here? Are you actually personally making the trip to Dallas?
I am. I will be on the bus. I will be on that 10.5-hour bus ride. I can't wait. I will be out there waving. We have a giant flag, a giant curse flag. We call her Big Bertha. If you see Big Bertha, I'll be the one waving her. So I will be out there cheering on my club and hope we can pull yet another cup set.
All right. Well, everybody make sure and go say hi to David on Wednesday night. David, where can people who might be wanting to learn more about New Mexico United and the curse go find you guys?
So we are on social media at The Curse NM. We're also cursenm.com. If you want to go to the website, learn about our history, kind of where we came up with the name, if you want to get merch, all of that's there. Twitter and Facebook are kind of our big spots for all of that kind of stuff as well. And I try and keep pretty up to date, and I'll probably banter with you a little too much. But it's a lot of fun. And obviously we have the Curse Cast. We do that every week. That's RJ and I, most weeks. I wouldn't say every week. I would say three out of every 4 weeks we're usually on there. Just talking about United and the curse and all of that kind of stuff. So give us a listen. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Apple Podcasts, and it's all through BGN, Beautiful Game Network, is who we kind of run that through. So we'd love to have you listen, and we'd love to talk to you on social media. And I look forward to meeting a lot of you out in Dallas. It'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool. All right, everybody, you can find our show online at DallasSoccerShow.com. Our social media is at Dallas Soccer Show. There's no E in soccer because we ran out of letters. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good rest of the week.
See ya.